This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It is Ashley. Ben isn't here. He has an event in Ohio today. Oh, no. Iowa. He is in Iowa today. But I'm going to be joined by Desiree Hardstock. She's going to come on and recap this episode with me, which, my bad, I went into this episode thinking it was going to be hometowns. I was really excited. And then it dawned on me that there was a reason we didn't see a preview for hometowns last week. Yeah, it wasn't hometowns this week. It was Mental All, plus a little 15-minute clip of us seeing Michael A. leave. And that is something that I kind of foresaw for a while. Just there was something about that FaceTime he had with the son. I was like, when the son says, "Daddy, do you not want to see me anymore?" That guy is not going to stick around. So I'll get into that with Des in a little bit. But first, I wanted to remind you guys of our virtual event. It's coming up this week. It is Ben and Jess's engagement party. It's going to take place in Napa. I unfortunately am not quite in the right health to be traveling 6 hours across country and 6 hours back, being on a plane. Oh my God, I can't even imagine being on a plane that long right now. So they're going to party without us. Not that I can party in Napa Valley, where all there is wine. Unfortunately I won't be able to be there in person, but I will be here for our event digitally. And you guys, I hope that you're there too. It's on July 30th. It's from 5 to 6 Pacific time, and tickets are on sale now at loopedlive.com. That is LOOPED live.com. And so, yeah, it's their engagement. It's like, you know, it's their iHeart engagement party. Nick is going to be there. Dean, Kaylin, Wells, they're all going to be toasting to Ben and Jess. And I know Jess is really excited to go to Napa for the first time. And we really want you to join us, because not only do we love to engage with you guys digitally, because there'll be a great chat and we'll be able to like get all your live feedback, but it's also benefiting Humanity and Hope United Foundation, which is a foundation that is so near and dear to Ben's heart, and they do so much good in the world. So it's going to be a party without us, and I'm going to be disappointed that I'm not there. But you know what? I'm also going to be happy that I'm probably going to be sitting on a couch, and it'll be, hopefully, knock on wood, before we know it, that I can actually socialize again. Okay, so guys, we are going to get Des on the podcast right after this break. She's the best to recap, so looking forward to it. See you in a sec. All right, guys, we have Desiree Man, why do I always just want to call you Hardstock?
That's okay. I mean, it is.
Do you stick with Hardstock at all, or do you always just go by
Siegfried?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys, she is the author of the book The Road to Roses, which we talked about with her a couple months ago on the podcast. How are you feeling about the book now that it's out there?
Good. It feels good to have it out and in people's hands. Yeah, it feels good. It's nice to be able to share your story and have the feedback come back.
What kind of feedback have you gotten? Like, what have fans really related to in it?
I think it's been great, because a lot of it shares more than just, you know, the bachelor, bachelorette experience. So I think it's been great for readers to see more of where I came from and what has made me who I am, and how, you know, faith and hope and how all of that kind of aligns into kept pushing me through in every season of life.
That's awesome. If you can give like a little elevator pitch as to like why your book is different than like a regular tell-all, what would you tell?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really isn't a tell-all just based on the Bachelor, Bachelorette. I really share, you know, about my heart, my hope, growing up, not having much, and going through really terrible dating experiences. Mm-hmm. But also how, you know, learning who I am, finding my identity, finding my worth, and finding my worth in who God created me to be and not in what other people said I was really big. But also just really, I don't know, holding on to hope. Hope is truly the key message throughout my story. So I think now more than ever, people need hope. So it's much more than just about the Bachelor, Bachelorette.
That's great. No, I love that. Okay, so you guys can get The Road to Roses on Amazon today. And I just want to talk a little bit to Des about like mommy life, because obviously I'm experiencing the first beginning of that. How was your first, how was your pregnancy? It's like, how did they feel? Like, because I've been talking so much about how like I didn't expect it to be like this. I expected it to be like, when people said morning sickness, I knew it wasn't just morning. But I knew that it wasn't just morning, but I thought it was going to be like, oh, like I'll be somewhere and then all of a sudden I'll get the urge to throw up. Like nobody told me that it was going to be like a nonstop nauseous thing. So how were you both times?
They should call it like the 24 hour sickness, not morning sickness. You know, ironic. I mean, I was very fortunate. I had pretty good pregnancies. I was mainly only sick the first time around but I just ate. So like,
oh my God.
Every time I felt nauseous, I just ate and ate some more. So I gained like all my baby weight in the first 3 months because I was just so hungry. Well, I was just trying to keep like the nausea at bay. So I just kept eating.
No, I get it. I need to eat every 2 hours or I get nauseous. Yeah. Like a meal every 2 hours.
Oh yeah.
Which I thought I was like, oh, I have to gain weight. But in the month I lost a pound.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe it's just, are you actually throwing up?
Yeah.
But
I'm not always throwing up the food, which is weird. Like I still am able to keep like a good amount down of the food. Like maybe I'll throw up like twice a day, but like I'm still consuming way more calories than like a normal day. So it's still, the math doesn't make sense to me, but whatever.
Yeah. It's so wild, huh? It's so crazy how a little baby like takes your entire body for 9 months and does whatever it wants. Your body just does whatever it wants. It's like crazy.
It's so weird. We had our second ultrasound last week and it did make me feel a little bit like a little more attached to the baby, because at first when you see it, it's literally like this small, it's like a speck, right? And then the second time it was like, oh my God, now a month later it has like a head and then the body and like I can see it. And I was like, oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's cute. Like I was like, okay, well, like now I'm not as mad at you for making me throw up all the time.
Just wait till you start to feel the baby move. That's just heart, you know, that's when you really feel that connection.
This is like maybe a TMI question, but I've always been fascinated by this. How are your deliveries?
Okay. Mine were really, well, I mean, so I went all natural.
You did?
Yeah. So like Chris was born in the same house that his parents still live in. So
no way.
And so it was just kind of their lifestyle. And as I learned more and I was, you know, I just learned more about the process of birthing and pregnancy, I decided that I wanted to go that route. And I mean, I can get real deep in TMI, but it is tough, you know, it's tough, but it's just incredible what we can do as women. Like incredible.
Well, you are like, far stronger than I could never do the natural route.
No. And that's totally okay. Yeah. Like whatever you need to do to get the baby out safely and healthy, that is all that matters.
All right. So let's pivot a little bit and get into Katie's season.
Sure.
I do believe that maybe you were on maybe a week or so before Katie's season. Do you remember when you were on? Was it like the very beginning of Katie's season or very?
I think it was the very beginning. Okay. Probably just the first episode had aired.
So who have you been rooting on throughout the season?
Okay. So I've caught up a little bit because I watched the beginning and then a lot of times in the middle, I get a little like busy.
Understandable.
So I caught up and I think she has some really good guys in her season. Like I think a few, she's had some bad ones, but I do think they genuinely are there for her. I don't have a favorite.
You don't?
I don't know. Well, I liked. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe that's because I missed a few episodes. But I love her connection with, you know, with Greg and with Blake. And oh my gosh, so sad, Michael leaving.
Michael, that's what I was waiting for. I don't know. I'm such a fan. I'm sorry. I'm like a little, he's just like brings light to the TV screen for me. I feel like without him there, it's just like, what am I going to just be engaged with during the show?
That was heart-wrenching for me to see him like leave. And but as a parent, like, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, you choose your kids over anything any day.
Yeah. Let's start there, because that is the first scene of this episode, you know, because before we get to Mental Law, we get this 15-minute segment of Michael on the phone on FaceTime with his son, and his son says, I think I know why you're not here. I think you don't want to see me anymore, or something along those lines. Yes. Which, oh my God, that is the saddest thing ever.
Oh, the heartbreaking. I mean, you could see it in his face the moment his son said that. He was like done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a good call back home, because the moment, well, I was thinking about it too. So, you know, like, a full season is about 10 weeks if you make it to the end. But they had to quarantine. Do you know how long they had to quarantine beforehand?
I feel like the guys may have it. I feel like over 7 days. Because if like guests have to do 7 days, I feel like the guys probably come in and do like at least 10 early on.
Yeah. So he's already been gone for almost maybe a month and a half.
Yeah.
That's a really long time.
I guess. The only thing to say is like, but he went all that time to just not wait it out like another 2 weeks. I don't know. But at the same time, like, I haven't felt like I've loved him. And like, of course, like, I love Katie, but I don't know if the two of them together, like, have always made a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know that.
Yeah. Were you shocked of her saying like all the time, like, she could see him at the end?
Kind of. Like, because I think that she was like, I think, to be honest, in her brain, she was like, I've pictured it, but I don't think that she like pictured it only with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think she pictured it with like two other guys as well.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, well, I mean, if I could have three different, you know, husbands, then yeah, you'd get in. I don't know. For me, whenever there's someone that's like a single parent, I feel like you have to really seek that relationship quickly to see if it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, let them go home. You know what I mean?
But I don't think she wanted to let him go home. I think she wanted to keep, she just like every week there was something more and more that she wanted to explore with him. I do think there could have been some way to like maybe work it out. Like, if she really if she thought that was her person, if this is one of the Bachelorette seasons where like the Bachelorette had decided who it was like early on, you know?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Like, to leave.
Yeah. With him. Like, if that was the guy that I knew I was going to pick all along, then I would have been like, oh, okay, well, I guess the season ends here.
you know? Totally. No, I hear you. But she obviously has different connections with the other guys. So it's like, yeah, so he wasn't then.
Yeah, he wasn't. To me, he wasn't. Because I think she could have like tried something more out, or at least like even like, I'm just trying to think from like the perspective of me in her shoes. I think I would have been like, okay, well, I guess that means I have three other guys. And if at the end of these couple weeks, I still am thinking about you, and I'm still thinking like I would rather him be here instead of this other guy, then I'll just leave this process and be like, okay, I found my guy through this. He just couldn't have been here in the end.
Yeah. I think that's what I probably would have done. But then, like, I would have kept going, because I do believe like what she said too, like, things happen for a reason, and sometimes you can't control those things that happen.
Yeah.
But like you said, if I got to the end and I was still like questioning, then I'd probably be like, peace, I'm going to go get my man.
Definitely. You know? Definitely. And it would have been a great ending, her like going to his house in Ohio.
Yeah, I actually really like that.
Yeah, me too. But I think we kind of get her answer at Men Tell All, just to fast forward a little bit, because Caitlin says to Katie, well, Michael says that the door is still open and he still has all those feelings for you. So what do you think about that? And she was like, basically said, oh, I moved on. Like, I'm not choosing you.
Yeah, she said that pretty matter-of-factly, so that was funny.
I know, 100%.
But I mean, it's hard because as a viewer, you're seeing it like right after it happened, but really months have gone by.
Right, right. That happened and like April, late May, or early May, or something like that.
Yeah, so she's already, you know, moved on, hopefully engaged, happy, and all the things.
But her saying that so matter-of-fact made me think, like, okay, so then she's definitely with Blake or she's definitely with Greg. Because I'm sorry, she's definitely not with Justin. She's just not with Justin.
I agree 100%.
Okay, great.
I was like, did they have something? You know, like,
oh, it was the most confusing thing last week. So, yeah. But like, what's so weird is to me, like, it's definitely Blake because there was this thing that came up a couple weeks ago in our headlines where, so it came out on the internet that Greg like wanted to pursue acting or something, and there was, yeah, so he liked to get acting classes. I don't know how hard he was pursuing it, but there was a tweet out there that said, like, when you find out that like Greg the whole time is really the one that was there for the wrong reasons or something, like hashtag acting classes. I'm totally making up the tweet, but it was something like that. And she liked it and then unliked it, which makes me feel like it's definitely not Greg.
Yeah, if she liked it.
I know.
Interesting. I'm interested to see what happens because the little, you know, the little previews, I don't know. I can't always believe them because I just never know what's being chopped up to like create the preview for what's coming. But it's interesting, like where she says she wants to go home.
Oh, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. I have no idea what that is.
You think she ends up with Blake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my only theory now watching that is that she finds out that like Greg is not as authentic as she thought. Yeah. So I don't know, but it's actually.
Gosh, what is with all those guys? Like Hannah's season. What was his name?
Oh yeah, I know. Jed.
Jed. Yeah. Like they go the whole way just to be douchebags.
I know. All right. Well, let's dive into the Men Tell All part. Yes. So I think that Tayshia and Caitlin did such a good job hosting this.
Good job.
They were pros. They were so so impressive. Men Tell All is not an easy episode to carry.
No, because it's live too. You can't mess up.
Yeah, you're live in front of that audience. You've got to read the prompter. You're getting little notes in your earpiece. It's hard. And then like the guys are constantly talking over each other. You're gonna have to break up fights. You have to deliver it with like a certain amount of like a sense of being commanding, but also being like emotional. And I just think that they really balanced all of it perfectly.
Yeah, I do too. They did a really great job.
Yes.
Like and they're going to be on Michelle's season, right?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if we have an answer about that, but we should soon because it's going to start filming any minute now.
Yeah. Do you think this is like a tryout that they're doing like Caitlin and Tayshia?
I don't know.
Are we going to end up with just one or?
That's a good thought. I have not thought about that.
No, no.
I don't know. We'll see. okay. So I think like this Men Tell All was when I first remembered today that it was Men Tell All, I was like, oh God, the last thing I want to do is hear these guys arguing. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that the arguing portion was only like 10 or 15 minutes because everything that they had to argue about was so dumb because everything was just so dumb.
You know, I actually agree. I was watching it and because usually Men Tell All, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But you know, it was actually not bad. And I actually liked the guys.
Yeah.
I thought they were funny. even when they were like bantering, it was still really funny. Or when they were fighting, it was just really stupid. So it was like kind of funny. Mm-hmm, But overall, it didn't overtake the whole night.
I completely agree. Because most of their fights in the house were about like who was there for the right reasons, right? And like catching guys, quote, being there for the wrong reasons because they said stupid things like, I know who the top four is going to be, or like, I want to be the bachelor. So because there was really no depth to those arguments, we didn't have a lot of fighting, which was great. But I thought it was very weird that Thomas wasn't there in person. Any theories as to why?
No, he's afraid. I don't know.
Honestly, that's my best theory too.
He's the best. You can just tell by the way he talks. He's a really great like manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
Like says the right things, does the right things. And maybe, you know, deep down he has great intentions, but I don't know.
Yeah, I felt this. I felt like, oh, maybe they just didn't want to bother with his drama. And they wanted it to be condensed to just a video call.
I don't know. I think they have a choice. Because I remember back so many years ago, Tiara was like the villain in our season. Mm-hmm. And they got her there. But because you know they would do anything to get the people there.
Yeah.
In person.
Yeah.
So it had to have been something with him where either he didn't want to or maybe a scheduling. Yeah. Although it said he was like in Sacramento or something. I forget.
It's always hard to believe when they say like there's a scheduling thing when it's like somebody who was such a big character. I kind of feel like I feel like he probably chickened out and tried. I just couldn't be convinced to come.
Yeah, I agree.
So then there was, let's see, what was like the other, like another big moment in Mental All, I think would probably be when Connor got kissed by a stranger in the audience.
That was actually really entertaining. I was like,
this is one of my favorite Mental All moments of all time.
Yes. And do you think that was staged? I wasn't sure.
I definitely think it was staged because she was like mic'd up. Didn't she sound pretty clear?
I didn't think about that. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
I think it was, but I think it was cute that he said that he was eyeing her from the audience already. She was really cute. And then he said, like, I want to get your number. I think like they probably went on a date. I think that was a really cute scenario.
I know. I was like, oh, we need to know what happens to them.
I know. We got to get an update.
That was cute. I actually liked having something fun and like spontaneous happen during the Mental All.
I also like the fact it like made him probably feel a lot better about the whole kissing thing because this poor guy was so embarrassing. One, to just be called out on stage about it. Then for him to be like, oh yeah, I like texted two or three exes just to make sure it wasn't that bad. And then that was like the perfect redeeming moment. And then all the guys were so supportive afterward. It was adorable.
So supportive. That was so cute. And it was cute that he, because I don't think Katie was saying like, you're a bad kisser. She was just saying, we don't have that spark kiss.
Definitely.
But still, how sweet of him to like go and like text his exes and be like, was I just a terrible kisser?
I know. Poor guy. Okay. Another moment that stood out to me as being one of my favorite Mental All moments had nothing to do with this season. It was them showing Caitlin and Jason's proposal, which we've all, I think, seen on Instagram, but it doesn't matter because I can watch it over and over again. And it'll never get old.
It was way better though, seeing it on like big screen.
It was.
I don't know. It was so cool. I actually didn't watch the full thing on Instagram because I thought I did. But then when I watched it back, I was like, oh my gosh, he was so sweet crying. And
he's so cute.
Like, can I get the words out? It was so cute.
So cute.
When are they getting married? Hopefully soon.
I know they're in the wedding planning process. It's a big, you know how stressful that is.
Yes, very much.
Okay, so then as far as like Katie's conversations with the guys, she really just talks one-on-one with Andrew and then with Michael. And it just feels like she's been kind of like moved past that. She appreciates them, but you know.
Yeah. It was like the same word of like, you know, I love and respect you, which was great. Mm-hmm. I think she's really good at saying like the right things.
Yes. I'm very envious of that. She is very good at that.
My emotions and my feelings get all is in the way, and I get all, you know, she's just very like straight to the point.
I know.
But gets it all out. Knows how to articulate her feelings. It's really good.
It's very impressive. And then there was that moment where she butchered Aaron's name and called him Thomas.
Oh my gosh.
Which like, yes. I get like they maybe look like they could be brothers.
That was so funny though, because they were talking about Thomas being like the worst, and then she calls him,
dude, Tom. Aaron is the worst though. I seriously think that Aaron's the worst of all of them, because he was the one that started drama with everyone, and he was constantly being like, I don't like him, I don't like him, I don't like him.
Yes, totally. But he never got called out.
No, he never did, which is weird, but like he still has like bad vibes for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
As far as other drama, I mean, they brought things up with Carl, and you know, at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure like Carl does look a little bit silly, because he was like, I said it was multiple guys. No, I meant it was just Thomas. And it's just like, okay, you got caught, it's fine. And then there was the stuff with what's his name, Cody. I mean, like, it was just so earlier in
Cody
the season.
And Aaron. Like knowing each other or something.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to be famous in 6 months.
Oh.
And he was like, no, you took that out of context. I'm like, it probably wasn't out of context, but you
yeah.
know.
How can you take that out of context?
Yeah. Like, what else are you going to be famous for?
That's the thing, like, I'm so thankful for is that back in my day, like, Instagram had just started up, mm-hmm. kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. It wasn't a it was a conversation. Like, are you there for the right reasons has always been a conversation,
yeah.
but now it's just like more heightened because of social media.
Yeah.
And I don't know if most people are on there for the right reasons.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know that even Sean Lowe, who's like the epitome of who do you think would be there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Basically writes in his book that he wasn't. And like back then it was, you know, you make friends, you travel, you like get like a little 15 minutes of attention, and it's pretty cool. But then yeah. like, you know it's going to be over.
Yeah. It's just so crazy. I feel like it's much harder though now for them to like really
prove.
Yeah, to prove it or navigate relationships maybe after the fact too because of social media and the pressure.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's really hard to prove you're like, ugh, it's just a cluster these days. I don't pity them. I feel like everybody can be there and be at a risk for being called that these days.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, anyway, so the next sneak peek that we'll analyze the sneak peek a little bit more. Blake says that Katie is everything he's ever wanted. Greg says that she makes him the happiest he's ever been. Greg says that he's falling so hard for Katie. He gets sick to his stomach whenever he sees her kiss other guys. Mm-hmm. And then she says that everything is blowing up in her face, and she just wants someone to book her flight home. Wow. So, I mean, oh my gosh. And Justin also says he's falling in love with her. It just doesn't feel real.
Yeah. Do you think Justin's falling in love with her, or it's just more?
Oh, he's in love with the thought in his head.
The thought, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see her meet the families too, because it looks like I couldn't tell, but I mean, it looked like maybe Greg's family or Katie had questions. There wasn't clarity there in that, but I don't know. I feel like that's always a telling sign when you meet the family.
Yeah, and then there was also this moment where it was like, if Katie doesn't get engaged to at the end of this, she's going to be like devastated or something like that. And was that was coming from somebody in her family?
Was that? I didn't know who that was.
I think so. I don't know. Could you imagine if one of the guys is like, I just don't know if I can propose next week?
Oh my gosh, that would be crazy. I mean, it happens.
We've definitely seen it happen recently. All right. Well, I mean, I guess, as always, the preview just looks great and juicy at this point. But yeah, of course.
And I don't think she actually goes home. I mean, no. I don't know. When I was on the show, I said I wanted to go home. And that's usually just because you're like emotionally drained and you're just kind of like, it's not that you want to go home. You just really want like a big hug and a glass of wine.
Right. You just want alone time.
You want alone time. You want your friends to like help you out. And So I don't think she actually goes home. It's just more so of like, she just wants space to think through what she needs to do.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I would feel like probably really trapped at the end, like the top three, if I couldn't get advice from my family.
Mm.
Just being like, who do you guys feel like? I guess you do get that, especially with top two. Then you start getting feedback. Yeah. But I feel like...
But when things start to, you know, get hard or like confusing, then you're just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And so I feel like everyone would say, I want to go home. I mean, I actually did say that. So it's like, I feel her.
Yeah. I bet you every lead says that.
Oh, I'm sure. At some point.
All right. Well, Des, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you so much for being here and breaking down this episode with me. I truly could not have done it without you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, before we head out of here, I'm doing Bachelor headlines by myself, which seems like it might be weird because Ben always like gets really dramatic and reads the headline and I kind of explain it. But it's OK. I'll read the head. I'll do both today. So the first one is actually quite juicy, I think. It's Bibiana. You know, Bibi, Julian. She admits that she slept on, quote, quote, not slept on directly. Because when I first read this headline, I was like, she slept on top of Joe Amable. No, she slept on him as if she kind of didn't realize he was there during Bachelor in Paradise. And she also ranks her experiences on The Bachelor. So she says that when she was on Bachelor in Paradise season 5, her only regret, and she keeps thinking about it today, was that she slept on grocery store Joe. I totally slept on him, she said. She said, I talked to him prior, and it was something like, obviously, they were already talking to him about going, but he wasn't sure if it was going to be an easy decision for him. Like, do I do this? Do I not? And then she sees him. He's back in the mix. He's on clickbait. He's single. And she's like, if things don't work out for him on Paradise this time around, he would be a Bachelor pick for me too. So is she saying here that she slept on him as in like, he was a bigger catch than she thought he was, and now she thinks that he'd be like a great Bachelor? Or is she thinking about like this personally? Like, she's personally disappointed that she didn't like pursue him more. I'm not quite sure. Out there, Bibi, do you want to date Joe if this doesn't work out for him this time around? Or are you just hoping to see Joe as a future Bachelor? Either way, I get ya. This is another juicy headline. Katie Morton says that she was torn after Colton Underwood came out. And she's also giving us a little update on how Cassie Randolph is. So she says Cassie is doing great. She seems very happy. She says she's noticeably moved on. And then when the news came out about Colton, she said she was torn, feeling relieved and happy for him to be free to be himself, but also angry with him for not treating her friend the way she should have been treated and for putting her through what she went through. She says, I was very torn in that situation because there was part of me saying, not fair, how dare you, I can't believe you. And then there was a part of me that was saying, it's starting to make sense how conflicted you must have been, how I feel for you. She said she was definitely torn, but at the same time, good for him for moving on and owning who he is. In sad news this week, Lauren Burnham, or Lion Dyke, you know, Lauren. I always call her Lauren Lion Dyke, but maybe she's still going by Burnham because I still go by Iconetti. She had to go to the hospital with a case of mastitis. And that's when you have painful inflammation in your breast tissue. And I believe that it's from breastfeeding. So she stayed overnight at the hospital. She received antibiotics through an IV drip and she had scans to look for any potential abscesses. Ari said on Instagram, she's been going through a lot this week. And he was up all weekend with the baby's survival over here. He said, haha, when he, you know, has his handful of three kids. So our thoughts go out to Lauren. We know she's home now and I hope she's feeling much better. Becca Martinez, she had a a moment being really upset over on Instagram because she's very overwhelmed by raising her two kids and her nanny quit. Ugh. So she felt a lot of guilt back in March when she decided that she just needed somebody to be a part-time babysitter. She said that she just felt like really strung out. Like she just couldn't handle everything on her own. And she finally found this babysitter that the kids loved, that she got along with. Ruth, her oldest, was asking if she was coming in, and she said she couldn't hold it together. She was crying. She just said it was a really rough day. And she said all this on her podcast, which is Chatty Broads. And I think she'll be looking for somebody else. So, hey, if you are a nanny out there, which ironically Becca was when she went and became, you know, went on to Ari's season of The Bachelor, well, maybe send in your resumes. I'm sure, you know, look out for Becca's Instagram post. Maybe she'll post something looking for nannies in the Southern California area soon. And Chris Harrison responds to fans saying that they miss him on The Bachelorette. He's saying, "I miss you all too." I think that's so sweet. It's one person on Instagram or via Twitter said, "I think Chris Harrison misses us as much as we do. You think that Chris Harrison misses us as much as we miss him? Hashtag Bachelorette." And he said, "I truly do." And then another Canadian viewer said, "The shows just aren't the same without Chris." And then he said, "I miss you all too. So many loyal fans up in Canada. Thank you." And then another social media user said that she loves and misses him. And he says, "Love you all too. Always have, always will." So that's very sweet. Oh my God. More baby news, guys. This is a huge headline. Raven Gates and Adam. Oh my God. How do I not know how to say Adam's last name? It's Gottstock. Gottstock? We never say it. We always say Raven and Adam, right? Raven and Adam, Raven and Adam. Well, Raven and Adam are having a baby. Raven actually and I DM'd a little bit last week. She told me last week, which was very sweet of her. She was just like, "I wanted to like have like the mommy bonding thing with you." And I was like, "Oh, you're the cutest." I was like, "Wait, why are you so pretty?" That's literally how it started. Because she was like, "What do you think our big announcement is? What do you think our big announcement is?" You know, she keep asking on Instagram. And I was like, "If you tell me that you're pregnant and you're this pretty..." that's when she responded and said, "I am." She's about 2 weeks ahead of me, like a week or 2 weeks ahead of me. And just congratulations to the happy couple. We know that they have wanted this for a long time. COVID got in the way. They wanted to get married during, I think they were supposed to get married. They got married this past April. I think they were supposed to get married in 2019 and they wanted to start having kids in 2019, right after the wedding. Well, they ended up having babies still right after the wedding, just a little bit later. And we are so happy for them. I don't know what to say. It's just like, it's so cute that it's kind of exciting that I'm able to like kind of go through this with somebody else in Bachelor Nation. She did tell people a little bit of detail about what she's been going through. She's not really been that nauseous. It says that despite not experiencing any nausea, she's had some food aversions. And what she told me was that like all the foods that Adam would normally like that she normally wouldn't like, she's been liking. So it's like all of a sudden she wants to eat what Adam eats. She also said that she's just had some lack of energy. And that has been kind of tough, but it's all great. And I'm excited. And I'm also glad that the baby doesn't come right away. She goes, "I have 9 months to get ready." They haven't found out the sex yet. And I wonder if they are, because she's just about that week where they should be able to know. So I'll have to ask her about that. But very happy for Raven and Adam. They are so cute and they look beautiful in their announcement. And I'm very excited for them. And this is a shocking, shocking headline because how are we just finding this out now? Clay Harbor is cousins with Andrew S. from Katie's season. Yeah, he's cousins. And he was talking to him a lot last week when he had his departure from the show. He said we were texting all last night. He was saying how hard it was to watch the show because it brought back so many feelings. And he said, "Yo, I know it's tough. People don't realize that you really are feeling all these feelings. And once you separate from that environment a little bit, you're like, okay, I'm back in the real world. But then you have to relive it all. And you go back and then you're like, wow, that really was how you feel. You know, it was really real at that point in time for me. So, I mean, wow, how did we just not know that these two were cousins and had each other to lean on? And then final headline of the week is that Michelle Young, her bachelorette, the contestants, the guys for her bachelorette season have kind of come out. So they're not the official releases yet, but they are like those early releases that always seem to hit the internet a couple days before like the official ABC.com release. I would go through them, but I think like we're just going to end up going through the official release next week. And then I'll have Ben here and we can do the thing where we like kind of make fun of the guys and make up wacky first impressions. So we'll wait for that. But a little interesting tidbit, according to Reality Steve, is that this season looks to be filming in Michelle's hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota, which kind of brings us back to the days of Emily Maynard. And I'm wondering why they decided to do it in Minnesota. They're actually staying at a hotel that is not like a campus hotel. You know, like the past couple seasons we've seen like hotels where they're like far out. They're in the kind of like in the middle of nowhere. And it's just completely shut down for production and cast and crew. And this, I looked up the hotels and this hotel just like, it's not a skyscraper, but it's a really tall building in the middle of an actual city. And they say that that's where the guys, this is what Reality Steve is saying, that the guys and Michelle will be staying at that hotel. And it looks like they'll be doing rose ceremonies at this place called the Semple Mansion. And the Semple Mansion, I also looked up, and it looks kind of like a wedding venue. It's definitely like, you know, not in the smack middle of a city, but it also doesn't look like it's totally remote either. And it's not huge, so I'm not sure that they're going to like have a whole bunch of places to shoot for it. It'll be interesting if maybe they start using Minneapolis as like a city to explore and they're not totally locked down. Like maybe they're not traveling throughout the country or throughout the world, but maybe they are just staying local and doing local dates. So that could be really fun for her, especially to be able to show guys her home and to do things that she would actually do around there. And they're apparently also filming something in Palm Springs over the summer, but it seems like the majority, or so says Reality Steve, the majority will take place in Minneapolis. So very interesting stuff that makes me think that like I would, you know, with Michael A's departure, and I really just have been really on the Michael A should be the Bachelor train. I would love to see them bring the show to Ohio, just like they brought the show to North Carolina for Emily Maynard, because of her child, and do it somewhere in Ohio, and he'll be able to have his kid with him throughout the entire time. I just think that he is such a front runner to become the Bachelor, and he's so, so sweet. But then you also have to think that there are going to be a lot of contenders, I'm sure, from Michelle's season. So we'll have to see after that. And plus, like, have we even gotten official word that the Bachelor has been renewed? That's crazy. I don't think that the ABC has officially renewed The Bachelor yet, which is just wild. But they do normally film in September, and that is just around the corner. Final casting week is usually in August, so we shall see. Well, anyway, guys, thanks for sticking with me and you know, just me through some of this and listening to me ramble to myself. I appreciate you guys always. Thank you for being understanding to me not necessarily being my perkiest of self lately, but you rock, and we really love and appreciate each and every one of you who listen to this podcast. I hope we see you next week live at our LoopedLive.com event. So you guys go to LoopedLive.com and get your tickets for Ben and Jess's iHeart engagement party. All right. Love you so much. Until then. I've been Ashley. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.